a user fee flashback from the most heated days of the Bush era debate. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. So, you may be asking yourself, if we have the FAA funded for at least 2 years now without user fees on general aviation, why revisit this topic now? Well, first, 2 years is not a long time. We can exhale now, but we're in between rounds, not at the end of the fight. Second, our alphabet groups still take this issue very seriously. I got an email from no less than AOPA President Craig Fuller this week, informing me that my freedom to fly is in danger. It encouraged me to share the Harrison Ford GA Serves America video spot with other people and, quote, contribute $50, $100, maybe even $500 to support our efforts, unquote. While the Harrison Ford video does a decent job of running down the list of general aviation's benefits to the public at large, it doesn't offer any detail on the user fee issue. So I thought I'd go trolling our archives for something that did. What we have here is audio distilled from an Aero TV feature on user fees, as explained by former AOPA President Phil Boyer from AOPA Expo 2007. The status report and some of the references to specific legislation are obviously out of date now, but the idea that the airlines will try to divide general aviation as a battle tactic will probably be back in the next round. The clips you'll hear in a moment are from, in order, U.S. Representatives James Oberstar, Jerry Costello, and Robin Hayes.
I'm going to start out with probably what's on most people's mind, and that's the FAA financing status. And I got to tell you that at this point, we are in the terminal area. So that means we've taken off, we've been en route the last 2 years, we've got several things done. We now are near our destination, terminal area, let's call it 50 miles away. We're not on final approach yet, but there is some convective weather ahead. And that's probably the best way to describe where we are right now.
That's, you know, we weren't going to allow the fox in charge of the chicken coop, and we're not going to allow it today either. My intention is to give it a decent burial. Those are the big challenges ahead of us, not nickel and diming the system to death as this proposal would do.
I do not believe that the FAA has made a strong case for its proposed changes.
Our focus needs to be on making the system better. It's working pretty darn well. We don't need to get our sledgehammer out, which is this very costly system, to drive a carpet tack. It would seem the FAA is gulping the airline Kool-Aid.
Well, those are certainly our friends in Congress. I wish all of them were this way. If you're from Minnesota, North Carolina, or from Southern Illinois, those are certainly people we want you to congratulate for their help in this whole effort. Basically, what's happened this year is Congress, the FAA, trying to divide and conquer general aviation. You know, those two words, they don't really define what we are, all the way from a Piper Cub to a Boeing business jet, which is basically a reconfigured 737. But that's general aviation. A Part 91, owner-flown, company-owned, and professionally flown, all the way from propeller airplanes to corporate aircraft. And that's what's been happening, trying to divide general aviation into, well, we'll take care of these people who buy avgas using fuel as a way to define us, or these people who buy turbine fuel. And they're using figures that are bogus figures. This business is 6% versus 97% versus 94%, all invented on their part, not following traditional methods of cost accounting of air traffic systems. But once again, to be very serious, these ads, these internet links, etc., have all directed people to a website that you might want to take a look at, if you have the stomach for it, called smartskies.org. And basically, and let me just tell you how important it is to have you and a large AOPA membership. Basically, the airlines have no grassroots. Their employees are mad at hell at them. They cut their salaries, they've done this. So pretty hard to get people in the employee base to be writing Congress. So what they're trying to do is get the American public. Now, the American public isn't real fond right now of airlines either. Delays, cancellations, ticket prices high in some places, low in other places. So they've developed this website, and they're directing everybody to this site and then telling them to write Congress. And there's a lot of myths. The airlines would have you believe that general aviation is the cause for all the delays at the major airports. It's all about those GA aircraft. You know, a lot of it is about the airline scheduling themselves. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:45, and I could go to the afternoon hours. But those times, in a survey done about 3 weeks ago, the airlines at O'Hare schedule more departures at those times than the airport can handle in their runway environment in visual flight rules conditions. So imagine now a wind condition that reduces the number of runways they can use, or instrument conditions, and obviously passengers are waiting in line. And then we know this from our general aviation flying, 70% of all the delays are caused by weather. There was a vote in the House, this made it through several committees in the House, and there was a vote in the House just 2 weeks ago, and I'm proud to tell you, on that side of Capitol Hill, they passed the House bill that we support by, as you can see, 267 to 157. So the bill without user fees, a small tax increase for avgas, a slightly larger tax increase for turbine fuel, and a host of other good things about funding airports, is now passed our House of Representatives.
Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure brings to the House today an historic bill to address the needs of aviation today and into the future.
That smartskies.org URL, by the way, still works. It now redirects to airlines.org. More of Phil Boyer's classic take on user fees in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. We're flashing back to Phil Boyer on user fees from late 2007, when the U.S. House of Representatives passed an FAA funding bill without user fees. But, as we can probably expect in the next cycle, the U.S. Senate is a different matter.
Now, where our problem is the Senate. The Senate Commerce Committee passed a bill that we wrote up in the magazine, the website, and I'm not going to go through every single detail. But the Senate passed a bill that would put in a user fee for turbine aircraft. And I say that this time around, because imagine 4 years from now, the length of the bill would have trickled down to piston airplanes. Tax cut for the airlines, the only aviation tax they pay, they'd eliminate. Turbine fuel tax going to 49 cents from 24 cents today, and once again, this user fee. So, a Meridian, TBM 700, as Jim Robbins talked about on Thursday session, going from Providence to Hartford for the convention would pay $25. a 747 from Los Angeles to New York, $25. Doesn't seem quite the way to tax our system. This has been what we've been working on for quite some time. And when the Senate Finance Committee voted, two senators who understand general aviation from Montana and Iowa, we came out with a very favorable bill. And I'm putting it up here now for you. The avgas present rate, jet fuel increased from 24 to 36 cents. Airlines keep their ticket tax, and they actually get, and I love this, here they were trying for a tax break, they actually get a small increase in a correction of international ticket tax. And once again, that fee is still there, but we hope to be able to take care of that in a different kind of way. Next, where do we face? A full Senate vote. And at that time, on the floor, we hope there'll be an amendment to take out that user fee. Our expectation is there'll be other amendments trying to put other things in. That's why I say there's convective weather ahead. And then when this is passed, it goes to a conference committee to bring both bills together. And then eventually, this has to be directed to the White House, of course, like all bills. And we question, will it be vetoed or signed? I think that will be pretty much worked out in the conference committee, and we will not have that particular problem.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Now, go fly someplace this weekend while you can still afford it, and have a clear and unlimited day.